And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, My Way. That's right, My Way. Also, we're going to look at this. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Also, something going on around here somewhere, I don't know. And then let go of the remote.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics is something you can listen to on 1170 AM, The Answer. Not on this show today, this hour. We're also going to cover entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Call us at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation, except for milk duds. I've had a problem with milk duds lately. You eat the milk dud and you chew on it, and then it grabs your teeth, and then it almost pulls your teeth right out of your mouth. That's not working for me. Anyhow, except for milk duds. That's all I'm saying. Okay, folks? All right. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Got to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Separation from a spouse or legal partner is difficult. Plain and simple. Child custody, visitation challenges, spousal support disagreements, and so forth can be incredibly messy if proper legal groundwork has not been set. Family law attorney Robert J. Balmer has been helping separated couples navigate the uneasy waters of divorce and legal separation for over 40 years. Robert is an experienced professional and will always talk to you straight. If you need help with any family law situation, call Robert Balmer, B-A-U-M-E-R, for a free legal consultation. He'll give you good, sound advice about your situation and what should be done. For a free consultation with Robert, call 619-497-0054. The law offices of Robert J. Balmer, a good team to have on your side. 619-497-0054. 619-497-0054.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. Let's do a quick check of our weather. For those that are hearing this recording later in the evening, it's dark out. For those who are hearing the recording now, it's still kind of dark out. So, I mean, doesn't really matter. Got it? All right. You want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to go about that. Don't forget our Facebook. We have the David Spoon Experience. We have David Spoon Experience. We have the David Spoon Experience. We have author David Spoon. We have church disappointment David Spoon Experience. We have David Spoon. And then we have a few other ones. That's the same one. I do like 10 cut and pastes every morning. It's the same thing.
Should do a cooking one called Tablespoon.
Tablespoon Interesting. We were going to do a spoon-fed one, but since they already use that on some of my tags, I can't really do that. And, you know, just remember one thing. I can use a spoon even to pick up a piece of steak. Use the edge of a spoon, but you can't really eat soup with a fork. Sorry. Don't get mad at me. Besides, my name's in the Bible. King David, David, and then they talk about spoons. So, there you go. All right. That's not that good, but I thought of it anyway. Let's have a discussion. This has a title. As soon as I find it, I'll tell you what the title is. No, the title is My Way. Do we have any song that goes with that? I remember when we first, I just have to say this, just one of those things I have to comment today, just leave me alone. When we first started the show, about 6 months in, we did something on Frank Sinatra, and somebody called up and said, you can't use Frank Sinatra in all your music. So that was earlier in the show when I was much more humble. And so we just used a Frank Sinatra cut in and out every moment for the rest next hour and 45 minutes. So before you call me and do that, I'm just warning you. It's like, I'm just telling you. It's how we operate around here. Just like, you know, careful. Okay, let's get into it. Let's have a discussion on My Way. And what does My Way mean? Well, let's look at it. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, dealing with the death of Lazarus. After he said this, Jesus went up to tell them, our friend Lazarus hath fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So when he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Jesus tells his disciples, Lazarus is about to take a dirt nap. And they're like, oh, he's sleeping. It's all good. He'll get better. And Jesus is like, no. Lazarus is dead. Okay? Finito. Over. It's over. Done. And they're like going, whoa. But now Jesus wants to go see him. En route, what happens? But he encounters the sisters, Martha and Mary. I just want to make sure you know what the references are. John 11, 21 and John 11, 32. Here's what verse 21 says. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you see some similarity in these two statements? Both statements saying the same thing. Well, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Right? What is it that Martha and Mary are saying to Jesus about their brother? What are they saying? Lord, if you would have been here, this would not have happened. We would not have had this tragedy. You could have prevented this. And what is it that you and I say to the Lord when we're singing My Way as he and us, we're in this engagement, and we tell him, well, Lord, if you'd have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. If you were here then, I would not have had to encounter that. If you'd have just shown up in the nick of time instead of being late, we wouldn't have to deal with this. If you'd only told me no about that person, I could have avoided this entire mess. If you would have said, don't take that job, it'll hurt you, I could have just missed that whole thing. Why, Lord, if you would have just done this and done that and told me this and told me that. And that's that Christian position where you're telling the Lord, if you'd have done your God stuff my way, it would have turned out better. And that's what the girl said. In verse 23 and 43 and 44, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. I mean, they were not getting what was going on. And the Bible says this. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Fantastic little portion right there. But here's the nut and bolt of this conversation. Jesus, if you'd have showed up on time, we will not be going through this mess we're going through now. We would have had this completely different scenario. Where were you? That's what they're saying. These are not non-believers. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but this is Martha and Mary, right? This is not people that don't believe. This is people that believe. They believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What they don't know is why Jesus wasn't there earlier. By the way, when Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, he stayed extra time just to make sure he was dead by the time he got there. That's what the scripture teaches. He hung out extra long just to make sure Lazarus was good and dead. Nope. He's got to be finito. You got to be done. Then we'll go and see him. Why would you do it that way, Lord? If you'd have just been here, it would have been different. Lord, if you'd have just answered this prayer, it would have been different. But that's the problem. The problem is we want God to do it our way. That's not weird. I think when people try, that's not really what I want. Well, when you tell God, if you could have just answered this prayer, or if I could have just gotten here and you could have just helped me do this, that's saying the exact same thing that Martha and Mary are saying. There's no difference whatsoever. You're telling the Lord that he's doing God stuff and he's not doing it that well because you think you know how the results could have been better. I don't think that's a great idea. I think I do that because I'll say to the Lord, well, if they would have seen this, or boy, if corporate Salem would have only had noticed this before, this could have been this or this could have been this. I do the same thing in my day-to-day activity. I think I do it with my wife. I think I do it with my kids. I think I do it with everybody I know. Well, if that person would have just done this, then this would have been this. As though I actually know how it would have been, because after all, I am the master of the alternate universe, right? Aren't you? I mean, come on. And so what they don't like, I mean, the two things, we've discussed this before, they don't like God's timing. There's a reason that a lot of people laugh and call him Mr. 11th Hour. Mr. 11th Hour coming through. Like, you can't imagine God taking any longer to do something. Finally, kind of attitude. So they don't like the timing, and they don't like his method. After all, Jesus said, well, he's going to raise again. And they're like, okay, yeah, we know at the resurrection, we get it. No, Jesus goes, no, he's going to raise again. No, he's getting up. Yeah, we get it at the resurrection. Jesus goes, no, he's getting up in a minute. And they're like, no. Uncover the cave. They're like, what? It's been 4 days. It'll stink by now. Why was it 4 days that Jesus waited? Because in rabbinical thought, they thought after 3 days, there's no chance of return and that the spirit had to depart one way or another. So Jesus waited another day. No messing around. We're not messing around. He's gone. Done. Right? Okay, great. Then he goes, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Well, we don't know. There could have been other people in the graves. If he would have just said, come forth, they all might have been coming out. That could have been a problem. But Mary and Martha didn't like the timing and the method that Jesus used. And they let him know. Do we sometimes question the timing and the method of God? We come back, we'll be honest about that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Isn't it amazing? Jesus can
local,
use
national,
me.
And heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
As our culture becomes a more decadent Rome, our struggle for truth will resemble that of the early church. This is Jim Garlow. In the first 3 centuries of the church, Christians fought on 2 fronts. On the outside, they were persecuted by the pagan authorities of Imperial Rome, who forced them to confess Caesar as Lord. On the inside, it was the Gnostic wolf in sheep's clothing who claimed to be Christian but adopted the pagan spirituality of the Roman Empire. We're now seeing a repeat of this 2-front battle. Our struggle for truth resembles that of the early church, as we too face those who call themselves believers in Christ but are not. After 2,000 years, the conflict over spiritual truth remains. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." Only the biblical witness makes sense. Jesus is the Savior of the world. This is Jim Garlow.
Ready for a night of fun and laughter? San Diego Christian College and One-Eyed Possum Production presents Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live, a one-night-only event, Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. Enjoy clean, family-friendly comedy featuring Taylor Tomlinson, the finalist in Last Comic Standing, and a special guest appearance from Comedy Central. Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live will be held at San Diego Christian College in Santee and emceed by Josh Lawson. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now, starting at $25. See is limited. San Diego Christian College is offering a special discount to alumni and students. 100% of the proceeds from Charity is Fun Comedy Night will go towards San Diego Christian College student scholarships. Don't miss Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live at San Diego Christian College in Santee. For all the details and to purchase tickets, visit sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu.
Lord Mancroft was a well-to-do baron in England in the early 20th century. He once said, "Money? If it does not bring you happiness, will at least help you to be comfortable in your misery." Let's give the baron credit for creative thinking, if not for the whole truth. The biblical truth is that money is neither good nor bad. If it brings joy or sadness, comfort or discomfort, good or ill, it is only because of what its owner chooses to do with it. I can't remember ever seeing a sign that said, "Happiness for sale here." So we know money can't be used for that. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's purpose for money on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Just had a little bit of discussion on, I did get a sports report, so I think I'll give Tugboat Todd actually that chance to give that sports report. What do you got for us, Tugboat Todd?
Well, our Padres, you know, our little scrappy Padres, we managed to sweep the World Series champs, the Cubs.
Wow. Did the Cleveland Indians do that?
No, unfortunately, they were unable to win three in a row. In last November, they lost the Cubbies in the World Series.
I heard from a very, very respected group in New York, a group of liberal, secular progressive Democrats, that it was actually the Cleveland Indians that won because ultimately over the entire seven games, they actually scored more runs. That's what I heard. So a little bit of controversy right there. Let's move on into our next. I guess it was the first to four. I guess. Let's move on to our next little segment. So we just discussed My Way, did a little Frank Sinatra there, understanding that we don't necessarily enjoy the timing or the method that the Lord always uses. I don't think it's a question to say that his ways have a mysterious element to that. You know, Deuteronomy 29:20, when they say, "Oh, well, the mysterious things belongeth unto the Lord." Okay, yeah, that's actually Deuteronomy 29:29, where he shares with us a great deal, but some things he holds back, which are not ours privy to know. We don't get to know everything, which is why you don't get the lotto numbers when you pray and say, "I'll give 95% away." The Lord says no. But here's something you need to keep in mind. With the story with Martha and with Mary and their brother Lazarus, they didn't really like the timing. They didn't really like the method that Jesus used. That's what they said to him. In fact, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But in verse 40 of that same portion, which I didn't bring up last segment, but I'm bringing up this segment, Jesus said this, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So here is a hint in this whole story from Jesus on what you and I need to do to get past the I don't like the timing, I don't like the method attitude. The thing that we need to do is be a believing people in order to see the glory of God. Let's understand something, but do it in an honest way. Ready? Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Do we have a sound for this? We do. You want to play that sound?
Do you know what A-bomb means?
Certainly. A-bomb is what some people call our program.
Oh, Rico, he's a dummy.
Please, Rock, you were speaking of our host. That's antihistamine money, you know.
Antihistamine money?
It's not to be sneezed at.
That's what it does. It's Bullwinkle. I love it, right? I don't get it. That's the key right there. I don't get it. What do you mean? Isaiah 55, 6 through 11, which, by the way, I needed for this verse. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11 says this: Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Now listen to that verse again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, this is as polite, I think, as God can say it. I'm really smart, God is saying, and you're really not. That's what he's saying. Now, you might not want to hear it that way, but when God says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, you and I just became little brains. Get it? You know that 6%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% of the brain that you use, according to scientists, which I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, they say we use a small percentage of our brain. The Lord doesn't have that problem. He's not a little brain. We're little brains. And his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we don't even really understand the origination of rain and snow, but we've gotten pretty good at guessing with weather patterns. But the point of this is that the Lord, his understanding is dependable because it's better than ours. Did you ever go through something and say, I don't get it? I mean, how many thousands of times in your life? How about this? I'm going to use gender specifics for all those people that are politically correct. I don't care. A guy tries to do something impressive to take a girl out. And so he from being maybe a raunchier kind of person to somebody that goes and takes a shower and combs their hair and they shave and they put on clean clothes and they use underarms deodorant and they do all the different things that they never do any other time. But just because the guy is just really like wants to hang out with the gal and is infatuated. And you know, the great thing is we don't know what's going on there, right? The guy becomes somebody completely different. The ways of love is mysterious, right? Not to God. It's just to us. Oh, that guy became completely. Do you notice that when a guy and a girl get together, all of a sudden the guy goes, isn't it a pretty sunset? Like all of a sudden he can see colors and he has an eye opening now to beauty because he's no longer feeling like the type of doldrum kind of person he is because, you know, rainbows are in the sky now and every love song ever written was written just for him. Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're driving down the road and you hear a song on the radio. You hear an old Billy Joel song and you were like, yeah. That, now I fully understand that song. Of course, 3 weeks ago before you met the girl, you didn't have a clue as to what it was about. The ways of love are mysterious and men and women are delirious in the mysterious. None of that's a mystery to God. He created all of that. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. His processes are higher. His understanding of timing is higher since he created time for our benefit. That's what it teaches us clearly in Scripture. The sun, the moon, the stars given for signs and times and seasons. It's for us, not for anybody else, but for us. Here's the bottom line. His way is higher. His method is higher. His timing is higher. His approach is higher. Everything he does is higher because he knows what he's doing. But I have been in that place of Christianity where I've said to the Lord, what are you doing? I don't get it. Here's a news flash. You want to break this one across? Here's breaking news. You're not supposed to get everything. Do you know there's a great saying by Gene Edwards? The Lord knows everything that's going on, but he's just not telling. It's like, wow. He knows everything of every nuance and every element of your situation. He's omniscient. He knows every multiverse, alternate verse, universe complexity that there possibly can be. He's just not telling. It's his to hold. It's his to know. And when we don't get it, guess what happens when you don't get your way and you don't get it? I just want to do this. I could do this with my kids. Is that all right? Good example. When they don't get their way and they don't understand why, what do you think they do? I want you to just put yourself in that position. When you don't get your way and you don't understand why, what do? You pout. What? What do you mean I don't get it this way? What? What do you mean we can't go to McDonald's? What? What do you mean we can't have ice cream? Right? When we come back, I want to talk about the great way that we pout and how God sees it because he talks about it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
In my heart.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The hometown advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work. The hometown advantage. You see it in the shops and offices downtown, in our factories, schools, and farms. Jeff the accountant has it. So do Corey in IT and Amber, the vet tech. They found local jobs at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. It's where local employers find local workers like you, people who care about this community. Search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to get into the rest of this DDD in just a second. We'll kind of reset the whole thing up. I do want to say something about being a grandpa, because I'm going to say something about being a grandpa because I'm a grandpa. So as most people know, we've got our Addie Bug was the firstborn. She was born in March. Then we had our second one, Carter Bear. Carter Bear born in March. Not long after. We got our next one born in, coming in November. Everything healthy and good there. And I must say that the wife and I were having a discussion over the weekend about one particular thing. I just want to bring this up. And that is, you know, we're grandparents, and now you have Addie Bugs just getting to that age, and we want to spend more time with the grandkids because it's fun. To be really honest, it's fun to do. It's like it's a blast. You get to play. They're, you know, the innocence is fantastic. You just see these kids. They don't have any, you know, they're not, 16 yet. I don't mean that rudely. I'm just saying they're just at that, 1.5. It's like cute. Or, 1 or whatever the case may be. And we decided that as grandparents, we want to be involved and we want to do certain things like, have like a room that's dedicated for the kids to play games. And we don't want to, we don't want the kids to come and just color with us, but primarily because we don't color. Not because, my wife does, I don't. But I'm just saying, we play some games and have a good time, so on and so forth. And then we decided, it's interesting that we want to make some changes in our lives and we want to actually be more active in our lives so that we can be a part of the grandkids' lives. And what one thing I'm learning about being a grandparent, which I know those of you that are grandparents know better than I do, is that we are more willing to think of the lives of others with our grandkids. Now, we did that with our kids, and you do the best you can, but now that you see the grandkids in that next generation, you feel even more compelled to be sacrificial for your family. I just think it's a fascinating dynamic, and I'm going to discuss it with people as we go all along this radio journey. Grandkids are they're great to have, and if you don't have them yet, don't believe you're never going to get them. That's silly. But make sure you're there and available to play with them, because when I went to my grandma's house, you know what we did that was the only cool thing that we did back in the day? She gave us a sugar cube. No, you think I'm kidding. She would go to her little sugar thing, and she would get a little cube, and she'd go, here you go. So I don't have fond memories of going to grandma's house. I don't want that. And if you're a grandparent that gives sugar cubes, stop that. It's terrible. Be an active grandparent and don't give them sugar cubes. They're not horses. Okay, got that off my chest. I should have done that for a What's Bugging Me. Oh, well, too late. Let's get back to it. My way was the first thing we discussed. We discussed the death of Lazarus and Martha and Mary not necessarily liking the timing and the method of the Lord. Okay, I get that. And then that second thing we talked about is us not getting it because God does stuff and you go, what are you doing, Lord? I mean, why? And we'll even say, why couldn't you have done? I know you don't want to admit that, but when you thought that, God still saw that. You know how the Christians will do that? Well, I would never say that. I know, but when you thought it, God saw it. So it's still part of the makeup or whatever. And when you don't get your way and you don't get it, you don't get the way that you think it should happen, and you're not understanding why, you tend to pout. You know, the bird lands on your lower lip, hangs out there for a while. Look at that pouty lip. It's like, oh, come on, right? You're thinking, well, that's not really scriptural. I'm so glad you said that to me. Matthew chapter 11. Do we have a sound for this? Do we have a sound? Do you want to play it? Is it going to fit? All right, play it.
Because if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something going wrong around here.
Perfect. Because that's the key. There's something going on around here. When you don't get your way, you don't have it your way, and you don't get it, you find out there's something going on around here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. You don't have to do that. I'm going to read it right from the piece of paper. But you can always check on that stuff. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he is a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Jesus does a comparison to what's going on because the generation didn't like the timing and the method that God was using, and they didn't understand what was going on, and they started to get into this deep complaining against God. So Jesus takes that opportunity to teach, look, this pouting, this complaining, this discontentment with the way that God does things, this is not a good thing. This is something that can launch in you, land in you, grow as a seed in you, and become a tree, and become a big building, a big fortress in your life. Jesus said, we played the pipe for you, you didn't dance, we sang a dirge for you, and you couldn't even respond to the dirge, you couldn't even mourn. Now, you know what that means? When Jesus says that, I want to make sure you understand, we played the pipe for you. A pipe is what's played, or a flute. That's happy music at a wedding. What do you do at happy music at a wedding? What do? You dance. But for crying out, da, 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 we're dancing. In the Jewish tradition, a wedding would last a week. That's how long the celebration lasted. So you better have a pretty good flute player. I mean, it has to go for a long time. Everybody's dancing. Oh, yeah. Now, he also uses this contrast. He says, now, for the other people, we sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Now, a dirge is the sad music at a funeral. Talk about Todd reminding me of this when I said something about dirge, and he goes, what's a dirge? I'm like, hey, there's a sermon about this. You play that sad music, you know, dum, 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 dum. It's like, oh, my goodness, right? So Jesus says, you know, in the kingdom of God, God is demonstrating his wisdom and his ways. They're not your wisdom. They're not your ways. You don't get it. You do a lot of complaining, and you get so much from the kingdom of God. It's like we play happy music and you won't dance. We play sad music and you won't mourn. He said, you're never satisfied. It's never enough. It's never good enough. And then Jesus uses the happy song and the sad song and compares that with him and John. Jesus goes, John came, he didn't eat and he didn't drink. And they're all saying, the guy doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. This guy's like a demon, man. And then of Jesus, they say, well, he eats and he drinks. He's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the tax collectors. It didn't matter who came. It didn't matter how they come. And the point of this whole thing is that there's never a satisfaction. There's never a satisfying of how God approaches and tries to teach us. We're never satisfied with it. And it's easy to criticize because of our spiritual dullness that the Lord is trying to teach us and expand us and grow. And we're sitting there complaining that we don't get it our way. We don't understand what's going on. We don't like the wedding song. We don't like the funeral song. And we're not happy with how the kingdom operates. And you sit there and think, well, that's just those people. No way. That's us people too. We tell God we're not happy, we're not satisfied. How do we do that? Have you ever complained? That's how you do it. When you complain, you tell God you're not doing a good job of being God. You're not doing it my way. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't like that wedding music. I don't like that funeral music. Now I'm just not satisfied with any of this. And the Lord's like going, yeah, this is what happened to the children of Israel. And at some point, the ends of the camp started to burn with fire. 23,000 fell in a day. Oh, you know, we should keep this up.
It's like, this is lazy.
This is what we do, is we do this and we think, well, it's okay. It's all right. It's like, no, it's not okay. And the Lord's telling us it's not okay. And this isn't just me saying this. This is going around. It's funny because it's going around the church at large. People are, we're doing a tremendous amount of complaining. Guess what? The Lord doesn't like that. Remember the expression? It's not a biblical expression, but it has a lot of biblical merit. If you can't say something good, don't say something at all. Not that far off. Because complaining puts us at odds with God. Because if you don't like how he's running the system, you're telling him he's doing a lousy job being God. That's dangerous territory. Very dangerous territory. And it's important for us to recognize that God does things differently than we do. And Jesus made it clear how we understand or how we tap into it. Very simply, we tap into it when Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" But because we're not believing, we're not seeing the glory and we're complaining. And it's wrong. And it's a sin. We come back. The challenge that Jesus dropped on John the Baptist laid at our own feet. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. It makes you shine.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. President Donald Trump is currently engaged in his first international trip as president. The contrast between the current president and his predecessor has been immediately apparent, inasmuch as President Trump has been willing to use the word Islam in connection with the struggle against terrorism, whereas President Barack Obama was categorically unwilling to do so. As the Washington Post reported, President Trump has forcefully summoned the Muslim world to confront the crisis of Islamic extremism. In the president's address in Saudi Arabia, he said, quote, "Religious leaders must make this absolutely clear. Barbarism will deliver you no glory. Piety to evil will bring you no dignity. If you choose the path of terror, your life will be empty, your life will be brief, and your soul will be condemned," end quote. The president repeatedly used the stem word Islam, and he also used the word in a way that, as you might expect, brought criticism from the liberal Western press. I'm Albert Moeller.
John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Have you ever tried to avoid being persecuted for your Christian faith? Well, there are many ways to do it. You can simply remain silent when you know you should speak for Christ. Or you can embrace the world's sinful standards, laugh at its jokes, enjoy its lurid entertainment, and smile when it mocks God. If you never confront sin, or if people don't know what you stand for, you'll probably avoid persecution. But you will forfeit the joy of pleasing Christ and the blessing. If, on the other hand, you do live a godly life, you'll feel the heat of the world's rejection. But be assured that God will grant you sustaining grace in every trial. This is John MacArthur, praying that you are continuing to be portraits of grace.
Walking through the trenches of new parenthood, and I was lost.
Parenting is stressful, especially if you think about kids and safety. But today on Focus on the Family Minute, Chrissy Straub offers some perspective on that.
This, maybe more than anything, was one of the most freeing things for me. Because when I can actually visualize like four walls of a home and that, you know, protection and exploration, to try to balance those, because culture tells you protect your kids, partially because there's products for that. They can sell stuff to you that you'll buy, exactly, to protect your kids. There's nothing on a shelf that can give your child a sense of emotional safety except you, the parent.
Your child's sense of emotional security and identity starts with you. And you can learn more and hear other great parenting insights from Josh and Christy Straub today at FamilyMinute.org.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Big shout out to Lisa. Big shout out to Linda. Two big shout outs. Got to take care of that. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That is an excellent way to go about it. We have been having this discussion about, you know, trying to see things our way and not understanding necessarily the timing or the method of the Lord. Sometimes when we don't get the timing or the method of the Lord, we have this kind of attitude of like, you know, I'm not getting it and it's not going the way I want to and I'm not happy about it. And there becomes kind of a discontented, disjointed mindset regarding God and the way he's coordinating things in our lives. Again, we talked about this from Martha and Mary's point of view, how that both Martha and Mary had said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died, which is a very soft way of saying, you know, this could have come out differently if you only would have done this. And there's a lot of that going on for a lot of believers. It's like, we got to stop that, right? You got to pull that back. All right, we're going to skip the sound for this. I'm just going to go right through it. And so what's important about that is for us to kind of get a handle on when Jesus said, you know what, we played the flute for you. You didn't like it. We sang a dirge. You didn't like it. It's like there's a lot of dissatisfaction that takes place for believers, and that produces that complaining as opposed to what Jesus said to do and what he specifically instructed us is, look, yeah, I told you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Some of us are looking for God to do more demonstrative evidence, more of empirical evidence that we can utilize that we might, you know, then say, okay, well, now it's acceptable. We have to trust that what God is doing in our lives, he's doing for a reason. We have to trust that that which he allows in our lives, he allows for a reason. I was going to read one text. I'm going to talk to you about another portion that I read about this morning in my devotions. I'm going to be teaching pretty soon on Joseph and that whole process that he went through with his brothers. But if you think about Joseph and all the stuff that he went through in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6, it shows you that even though Joseph was thrown into the hole by his brothers earlier and then sold to Potiphar and then became a slave that, you know, and then he's at that place and then he's falsely accused. All that stuff is going on. Do you know one of the things that it says while he's going through all these really tough processes? It says that the Lord was with him. And I think what happens is sometimes we think, well, because I don't get it and because it's not going the way I think it should going and because I'm really dissatisfied with this, you know, it's like, you know, where is God in this process? It's ironic that I was reading this morning, how the particular commentary said that Joseph's relationship with God maintained a steadiness, even though the circumstances around him bounced up and down. I mean, he gets tossed into the well. He thinks he's going to die. Okay, so that, but he doesn't die, even though they were talking about it. Then they sell him, and so now he's on a slave route that has got no good to it. He ends up getting sold to a house. He has no idea what he's going into. Turns out to be Potiphar, the captain of the guard, and he does so well that Potiphar elevates him. Oh, that's fantastic. And then the wife goes after him, and she keeps going after him because the Bible says she pursued him day after day, which means for a long time. And then she falsely accuses him, and then the guy gets thrown in prison. But then while he's in prison, the guy who's in charge of the prison really likes him and elevates him. All this up and down stuff going on, and the one testimony in the scripture that's the exact same is the Lord is with him. Now that's it. Right there. That's the key. That's where you take all three of these segments I just said and put it into one glass and you drink out of that glass. It's not that it's your way or not your way or you don't understand the timing or the method. It's not that you get it or don't get it because none of that matters. Your way doesn't matter. Your method and timing means nothing. Your ability to comprehend a situation compared to God's is irrelevant. He approaches you and gives all these graces and tries to reach you in many different ways. And you and I, we do a lot of complaining, don't like the way it's looking. And the whole process throughout this whole time, when you go up and down, is the Lord has not moved one inch away from you. Not one time. I didn't say you didn't feel that way. Your feelings might go, oh, he's a million miles away. I don't know what's going on. Blah, blah, blah. That's not the truth. You might feel like God's far, but he's not. Because the truth prevails even over your feelings. And we've talked about this 1,000 times. Go take a hammer and hit yourself on the thumb and tell me how much you're feeling the love of God at that moment. But it doesn't change that God loves you. So your feelings don't always tell you the way it is. My point in that being is that in all of this process that we don't get, we don't understand, Jesus gave us the one big key that we can be using and that we should be using. And that is, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. That message is our message to walk by. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You don't have to understand God's timing. You don't have to understand his method. You don't have to try and be as smart as God, because you're not. Right? You're not as smart as God. You need to believe so that you can see the glory of God and recognize no matter how up and down things are in life, he's still right there with you. He hasn't gone anywhere, and he's not going anywhere. But you got to believe to see that glory. And I think what happens is we want proof from time to time because we've been Christians for a while, so we feel we deserve it. We don't. You're not entitled to any proof. You're entitled to walk with God by faith as he commands you to. That's what you're entitled to. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, and then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.